Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. Because today we start a new teaching series called The Top 10. For the next 10 weeks, we'll be looking at Bob Christopher's very top 10 favorite passages. And it's going to be a fun and insightful study from many years of study and ministry that Bob has been involved in. So because this study is the study session, we're not taking live phone calls today, but you can get a question to us now or anytime at the usual number, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get underway with today's broadcast. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I am so excited about this new series, The Top 10. These are all passages that have meant something to me in my walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. They've been used in a timely way. You know, they've lifted guilt. They've helped me see the real purpose of my life. They've showed me, you know, the true character of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. All of these various things. And so when I want to read a passage for encouragement, I usually pick one of these top 10 and just read it and reread it and just am encouraged all over again. And that's the exciting thing about the Word of God. It's always fresh. Mm-hmm. It is, as Ravi Zacharias said, it has a perpetual novelty to it. There's always a newness to the Word of God when you go into it. And so that's exciting. But we're going to start today with my all-time favorite passage. And it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. Now, why this is important to me is that God used this passage to really flip the switch in my mind and to show me the fullness of His grace that had been poured out on me in Jesus Christ. I was struggling as a college student, just recently college graduate, as a matter of fact. I had gone to college trying to be God's guy. I didn't know how the Christian life was really supposed to work. I was doing everything I could through human effort to try to make it work, and I was failing miserably. And in failing, I lost a sense of purpose. I lost my mooring. I wasn't anchored to anything, and I just felt like I was floating through life. And the book of Ecclesiastes was really coming true in my life. Everything is meaningless. I was in college to become a doctor. I was going down the pre-med route, and that just lost all importance to me. Mm-hmm. I just didn't care anymore. There was nothing that grabbed my heart. I knew Jesus was the answer. I knew He held what I was looking for, but I didn't know the right questions. And I went to a particular Bible study in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Bible study teacher, a young guy, I think he was 32, 33 at the time, he was dynamic, vibrant, passionate. And he was working through the book of Colossians, and he got to this particular passage, and boy, everything changed for me. He just went through it, revealed what the Apostle Paul was teaching to us about Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means to us. And boy, my life changed. Yeah. Everything turned on a dime on that particular night. So this is always my go-to passage as my favorite passage in the Word of God. So let's just read it. It starts in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through faith in the power of God, who raised Him, Christ, from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's the passage.
That's powerful.
That's the passage God used to reach down into my heart and to show me that this Christian life is all about Jesus, his grace from start to finish. It's not about receiving Christ and then kind of leaving him on the sidelines and watching and you go about doing your business. No, it's Christ. You receive him. He comes to live in your heart, and he's the driving force for the rest of your days eternally. And boy, that was good news.
Yeah.
That lifted the burden of trying to live the Christian life through human effort off of my shoulders, and finally brought me to a point where I could walk by faith and rest in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone.
You know, reading this passage, you would think it's about Jesus, wouldn't you?
Yes, indeed. And that's the first reason that I like this passage. From start to finish, it is all about Jesus. So it starts with Christ, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So this Jesus was both fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
And the fullness of the Godhead resided in Christ Jesus. So it starts with Christ and it ends with Christ. And if you work through this passage and just go through it and underline or circle every mention of Christ, every mention of God, you're going to come up with 14 different times that Jesus is mentioned or God the Father is mentioned. So it just the sheer number of mentions in this short passage about Christ really gives a stark message, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
This whole thing is Jesus. Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the main character. Jesus is the star. And when you can get that in your mind, everything else fits into place. We want Jesus to be up in the stands watching us be the star out on the field. And that's just not the way it works.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ is the star. And we have the privilege of knowing him, being connected to him, actually having him live inside of us. That is the good news that this particular passage is bringing to the hearts of people.
Absolutely. Well, that's just good stuff, as I love to say. Well, friends, it is Basic Gospel, session one of our new Friday series, taking a look at Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages, and we're glad that you're with us for that. You know, friends, knowing the truth and being reminded of God's love and grace can help you start each day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you are indeed a child of God. And we think one of the very best ways that that can happen is by opening your email inbox every morning, first thing, and finding the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. We'd love for you to subscribe today, and you can do that at basicgospel.net/subscribe. In just 2 minutes each morning, you can start your day and with the assured knowledge that you are a dearly loved child of God. The devotional is free, and it arrives, as I said, by email every morning. So visit basicgospel.net/subscribe and sign up free for the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Now again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the first reason that I like this passage is that it's about Jesus from start to finish. And that's a message that we all need to get and to fully embrace and fully understand. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, you diligently search the scriptures in hopes that you're going to find eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So when we read the Bible, we need to read it with this idea that I am opening these pages to find out more about Jesus,
yeah,
to get to know Jesus. And as we get to know Jesus, our lives are going to be changed. The second reason I like this is it really shows our true problem and what Christ has come to solve. Like I just quoted, Jesus said, these are the scriptures that bear witness of me, and yet you refuse to me refuse to come to me to have life. Mm-hmm. Well, here in this passage, we see that our real problem is spiritual death, and that the solution is being made alive together with Christ. And we see this in these several verses. In him, Jesus, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. So we realize something has happened to us internally. So we were lost, we were dead in trespasses and sins, we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. The affections of our hearts were toward the things of this world. Our hearts were placed square right in the center of the world and the ways of the world. So it was impossible for us to love God. It was impossible for us to fully live as human beings apart from God doing something. And so he did this. He circumcised us in the putting off of the flesh. Now, this is something that was prophesied way back in the book of Deuteronomy. So there, the Israelites are on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They're in Jordan, what we would know of as Jordan. They're around Mount Nebo, looking over into the Promised Land. And Moses has them gathered there, and he gives this second law. And in that, he says this in chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 6, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring." So we see the fulfillment of that in this passage, that we have been circumcised not by a circumcision done with hands, but by Christ himself, who has cut away that flesh. Now, why did he do that? So that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. So God circumcised this heart, turned our hearts toward God. And then it says this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ." So what was our condition apart from Jesus? We were dead. We were dead in sins and in the uncircumcision of our flesh. God cut that away in Christ Jesus, and then he made us alive together with Christ. Why did he do that? So that we could love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and live. That's why Christ came. That's what this gospel is all about. Life that we can express in love toward God and in love toward others. So we see this is all about Jesus, and it's all about what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He has given us a new heart, and he has made us alive together with him. And then the next thing that we see in this passage is that he forgave all our sins. So in very plain black and white language, here's the truth. All of your sins have been forgiven. If you've been made alive in Christ, you've received that forgiveness. In him, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the grace of God that's been lavishly poured out upon you. Mm-hmm. So you were circumcised, your heart was made new. You were given a new heart. You were made alive together in Christ. And all that was because your sins have been forgiven. So do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ has forgiven all of your sins? Well, if you don't, you need to. Why? Yeah. Because that's good news and that's truth. Christ forgave all of your sins. Now, he couldn't have made you alive together with him. He couldn't have circumcised your heart if the sin issue hadn't been dealt with. And so he dealt with it once and for all. He dealt with it in its entirety. He didn't do a partial job. He did a complete job. He completed his work in regard to sin. That's why I said it is finished. So he dealt with every single sin that you will ever commit. And now, because you are in him, you have forgiveness of sins. You are a forgiven person. So all of this together, when it was compressed together, when I saw that Christ accomplished all of this, that he did something to my heart, he made me alive, he forgave me all of my sins, boy, my burden of guilt and shame and fear and self-effort was lifted, and I experienced freedom. I knew that God loved me, and for the first time, I felt fully alive as a human being. Mm-hmm. That's why this passage is such good news, but the news gets even better.
Yeah, and we're going to hear about it.
Yes, we are.
We are. Well, friends, we're glad you're with us for this session one of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and gosh, I am already excited about this series. It's going to be great. It already is, as a matter of fact. But friends, Basic Gospel has many resources to help you understand and live in the incredible good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Among them is Bob's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you'll find it and all of our resources, for that matter, in the store in the resources menu at basicgospel.net. Again, choose store under resources at basicgospel.net for all the resources. We hope you'll take full advantage of them. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and as I said, Bob Christopher's favorite passage number one in this new series, Bob's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and here again is Bob Christopher.
So today, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, this is the passage God used to really just revolutionize my life, mm-hmm. and to show me the life that I have in Christ Jesus and the fact that I was complete in Christ Jesus. So just to recap, this is a passage in six short verses that mentions Christ or God 14 times.
Yeah.
So we understand that this life that we have in Jesus is all about Christ from start to finish. So that's a powerful, powerful message that Paul is communicating just by the sheer number of references to Jesus in these six verses.
Yeah.
It shows us that our real problem was death and that we needed life, and that through faith in Christ, we get a new heart, we're made alive, and we receive forgiveness of sins, that all of our sins have been forgiven. Now, the next part is really exciting to understand and to really embrace, and it's this: in forgiving our sins, Jesus canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. So one of the things that we understand about the law, the Mosaic covenant, those Ten Commandments, is the language of the law is a language of condemnation, judgment, and death. So when we put ourselves up against that law, we try to measure our righteousness, our goodness, all of those things against the standard of the law of God, those Ten Commandments, we come up short.
Yes.
And so the law judges us accordingly. It shows us our sinfulness. It gives us the knowledge of our sin. So it speaks the language of condemnation, judgment, and death. That's why it stood opposed to us. And Christ, in his grace and his mercy, he took that written code and he nailed it to the cross. And in nailing it to the cross, he canceled it once and for all. So now, as a result, because you are in Christ, because you've been given a new heart, because you've been made alive, because your sins have been forgiven, there's absolutely nothing that stands against you or opposed to you. So there's no judgment for your sins, as Paul wrote in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, we have an enemy, and that enemy is going to accuse us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does, and he does it really well. But you know what? He has no case against us. Why? Because the case was closed at the cross 2,000 years ago, and that thing that stood against us has been canceled by nailing it to that cross. So we go through life so often, and this is what I did for 8 years before this passage became a reality in my life. I lived under the judgment of the law. I mean, I felt that. I carried that with me. Now, the truth of the matter is that I was not under the law, but I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that thing that was judging me had been canceled and had been nailed to the cross. This passage clearly communicated that, clearly let me know that now, because of the work of Christ, there is nothing that stands against me. There's nothing that stands opposed to me as far as God is concerned. This barrier has been removed. The wall has been torn down. I have total access to God. He has total access to me. And in fact, he now abides and lives and resides in me. Talk about good news.
Yeah.
That's good news. And here's the next piece of that. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Satan and the Roman centurions and the Jewish leaders, they all mocked Jesus during that trial and during the crucifixion. They sneered at him. They put a mask over his face and they beat his face and said, "Tell us who hit you, O King of the Jews."
Yeah.
And that was their attitude. And where did that attitude come from? The enemy, Satan himself. And on that day, Satan had thought he had won the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sneering and laughing and thinking that evil had won and had won an eternal, perpetual victory. And what did Jesus do? He turned and laughed at them and said, "You just think you won, but watch, in 3 days I'm going to come out of a grave and death will not hold me, and the power of the evil one, the works of the evil one will be done forever." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you and I participate in the Lord's Supper, we pronounce the death of Christ. We're making a pronouncement about the victory that Jesus won 2,000 years ago. And in essence, we are imitating what Jesus did at the cross. We're saying to those forces of darkness, "You have nothing on us. You cannot do anything to us. The gates of hell will not prevail."
Right.
Why? Because of the power of Jesus Christ displayed on that cross 2,000 years ago. So this passage declares that our enemy was defeated and disarmed through Christ's triumphant victory at the cross.
Yeah.
And then the final thing about this passage is this, that it assures us that we are complete or have fullness in Jesus Christ. That's how this passage begins. Now, there are so many people trying to find fullness. They're trying to fill that void in their heart. When they've come to Christ, when Christ has circumcised their hearts, putting off the flesh, giving them a new heart, when he's made them alive, forgiven their sins, taking the thing away that stood against them and opposed to them, they find themselves complete in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is the best feeling in the world, that you know the truth, that you are complete in him.
Absolutely. Bob, just an excellent study. This is Colossians 2, 9 through 15, friends, the first installment of our new series on Fridays. It's called The Top 10, Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. And if you have a question about anything that you've heard or will hear on Basic Gospel, well, the phone number, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, and we'll be glad to address your question. So give us a call anytime. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Also keep in mind, friends, the ever-present need of your support for this ministry. If Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, help us help others by supporting this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, as I said, a wonderful study, and we look forward to next week and session number 2. In the meantime, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And if you have a question, give us a call then as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.